Are y'all excited to be here this morning? Yes, all right. That's what I want to hear. I hope that you all are excited to be here this morning. Excited to see what's going to happen. You know, when people go to a show or to a concert or get to be on the set of a TV show or something, they get all excited and they're cheering and they're clapping because they're excited to see what's going to happen, who's going to come out, what's going to be said. And this morning, I hope that we're excited as we get to come together as a group of believers to see what's going to come out of God's Word and what it's going to say to us and what's going to happen because of it. Because when we open God's Word, powerful and amazing things can happen. And so we are going to be doing that this morning. I would like to introduce myself. I know most of you in this room, if you're a visitor or this is your first time seeing my face up here, my name is Isaac Burton. And I live here in Greensboro. I was raised, well, in Randleman, technically. I was raised in High Point, and now I live in Randleman. Greensboro is just where I do everything else. And I've been here and there a little bit. I lived up in Michigan, where I went to Bible school for a while, and then I moved down to Georgia. And some of you, bless your hearts, never realized I left. But I am here, and we're back, and I'm, you know, doing what I can to be a missionary to the city of Greensboro. But you know what they say, in order to make a living in ministry, you have to be a good preacher, a good speaker, a good moderator, a good counselor, and basically good at everything else and have a second job. So I am a student over at UNCG, but those things are some of the things I do. But I tell you, as I am going to open God's Word to you here today, I don't stand on the merit of any of those things, but on His Word alone, and I hope that that's what we are going to listen to. But I'm also excited because this is my first time speaking to a crowd this big. You know, I've spoken a lot of times on Sunday morning to smaller groups, and on Wednesday night, some of you are used to me, maybe tired of me, but a smaller group, it's a little different, and you can't say some things that people might need to hear because it's a little too personal, you know, a little too big. So I get the chance to say some different things and act in some different ways. I got this whole stage, you know, I can walk around, and I got to figure out what kind of preacher am I going to be, right? There are some preachers that are very calm and very stoic and sedate as they stand in one place and wear the carpet straight through to China, where they never move or never do anything. And then there's other preachers that they're walking around and they're everywhere. And you better not be on Instagram or Twitter on your phone because they can tell whether it's the Bible app or whether it's social media. And you know, and then there's Brother Mark Shelley, and he's up here. And if I don't know if any of you have got those backup cameras in your cars, but I think Mark's got one of those in his mind. He doesn't have to even look, and he can tell how far away from the podium is. It's like, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. And it's time to head back over here. So I got to figure out what kind of preacher am I going to be? You know, there's that aspect of walking around, and there's also how am I going to preach? You know, some people pull up the stool, and they're very conversational, and they talk to you, and it feels like it's one-on-one. And some other people are going to get into the Word, and they're going to talk to you about what the Bible says and about how Jesus loves you. And He does, and that's the truth. But I got to figure out what kind of preacher am I going to be. And no matter what I do, no matter how much of a fool I may make out of myself walking around, falling down, who knows what else, or however I talk, I hope that you come away remembering the Word of God. Because no matter what gimmick I do, no matter what surprise I may pull out or illustration that I could pull, nothing is greater or more powerful than God's Word. And so we're about to read a few verses this morning, and I hope that as we read this, you're going to ask yourself two questions. One, what does it say? What does it say? And two, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? What does this say? And what am I going to do about it? You know, there's a lot of Christians out there today that they're real worried about what does it say. They will spend hours and hours debating and talking about what exactly it says and hermeneutical context and theology and this and that. And yet, they're never saying, what am I going to do about it? So we need to ask both of those questions, and we need to act on it. So we are going to open up our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to read four verses. I'll give you just a second to turn there. Not all of you are mountain movers that have been trained in sword drills 3 or 4 a week, every week from kindergarten through 6th grade. So I'll cut you a little slack. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has not another to lift him up. Again, if 2 lie together, they keep warm. But how can 1 keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against 1 who is alone, 2 will withstand him. A 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us. Lord, this opportunity to come together as a body of believers and to open your word. And Lord, I ask that you would help me to say what needs to be said and not say what does not need to be said. And that these people here today would ask, what does this say and what am I going to do about it? And that this would be a beneficial and glorifying meeting to you. In your son's name, amen. So you see up on the screen, it says, better together. Better together. Now, we were reading in the book of Ecclesiastes, and some of you heard the first half of this sermon, if you will. We're not going to go into that today, but talking about what is better together. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it was written by King Solomon, most likely, and he was a very, very wise man. In fact, the wisest man who ever lived, because he asked God for that very thing. And he was also, extremely wealthy. And so he had everything that this world could offer, and he set out on an adventure to find out what is the purpose of life. What is it all about? And as he's on this journey trying to find out what is the purpose of life, he finds that everything is empty. He says, I looked over there and I saw that guy with his car and his house and his good job and his good family. And I thought, if I could have that, life would be good. I would be fulfilled. He said, I got that and it was empty. There was nothing. No, he goes as far as to say that those people who are basing their purpose and their fulfillment in the worldly things of this life hate their life. They hate their life. But he does say that there are a few things that life is better with. There's 2 things in Ecclesiastes life is better with. 1 is wisdom. He says, it's better to know the asteroid is coming to kill you all. But both of you, the one who knows it's coming and the one who doesn't, you're both going to die. Right? So it's better to be wise and know what's coming, but the fact is, it's the same in the end. He doesn't use the asteroid illustration. That was mine. And the second one is that it is better together. Better together. And we see that in verse 9. 2 are better than 1. It can't really be much more simple than that. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their toil. He's saying that 2 people working together in unison are better than 2 people doing their own thing. All right? Better together. So as we look into this, I want to try to paint an illustration or a picture that's going to help you to remember this. Because if you don't remember what I talked about 5 minutes after I finished, then what was the point of this? So as we think about this better together, we're going to think about our road of life. All of us are on a road of life. And as we look around, it looks like everyone else's road is easy, and ours is the one that's bumpy and rigid, and goodness gracious, I just raked this thing and it rained again. You know, it's how it goes. But we are all on this road of life, and we're going to see Solomon use this illustration of people on a travel or on a journey and the things that happen to them. So we're going to read verse 10. It says, "For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." Our point here is that we need someone to pick us up. You need someone to pick you up. And here, he's talking about life under the sun, right? He's talking about when you physically trip and fall, when you hit something and you break your arm, when you are in a situation where your eyesight has deteriorated and you can no longer drive, you need someone to drive you. You need someone to help you. You need these different things in your life. If you're alone, then you're stuck in the ditch. You're stuck laying down. You need help. Well, you know what? I don't think it's a far stretch to say that this also applies to the spiritual. It applies to me and you in the church today. See, there are a lot of people out there in the world that they have tripped and they have fallen into sin. In fact, they were born in it. and they need someone to lift them up. They need someone to help pick them up out of the sin that they're in. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are saved here today. People that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet they have fallen in sin. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're struggling with a sin of addiction, of envy. Maybe you're struggling with anything. All of us are struggling with something. And the fact is that we can't do it by ourselves. When we trip and we fall in sin, we need someone to help us up. You know, I think about the commercial you've probably all seen of the life alert button, right? Somebody falls and they press that button. They say, I've fallen and I can't get up. They need some help. You know, I'm going to venture in to relating this to us in the church today. You know, in James chapter 5, it says that we're to confess our sins one to another. When we fall into sin, we need to confess that to the Lord. Psalm says that against you and you only have I sinned. First off, we've confessed our sin to God. We confess those to those people who we've offended, and then we confess it to the people around us so that they can help us. The problem is that so many people in this building today, in the church in America today, we have created a barrier to accountability that is so big that no one knows that we've fallen down. We separate people from outside of our lives and hold people at an arm's distance so that when we fall, they don't know we've fallen. And even though we come to a church together every day, even though we have people around us that love us and care us, we've developed aloneness by holding people away so they don't know that we mess up and they don't know that we're fallen. Guys, we need to stop building these barriers of accountability because Solomon is telling us, even just in earthly knowledge, that we are better together. And then we see that in order for us to be redeemed, we need to confess one to another. Guys, this is a big deal. And it is not an easy deal. We do all that we can here at the church together, collectively, in the leadership to foster this. But the fact is, it comes down to you. And you have to be willing to let people know what's going on so that they can be willing to help you. And you know, some of you here today may say, I'm not in a ditch. You know, that's not going, I'm not in sin right now. Praise the Lord. That is awesome that right now you're in a time in which you don't have a sin that you're currently in. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is greater than addiction. And he is greater than anything else that is on this earth. It's your job to help someone else because I tell you, you will fall again. I'm not trying to be more, but I'm telling you the truth. We're humans. And the moment that you think you're above falling is the moment you're going to fall. And we need to be helping each other out. We need to dare to let people close enough to us past our barriers of accountability to the point that they know when we've fallen and we know when they've fallen and that we can help them. Because if we're together, when we fall in sin, we pick each other up and we continue on the journey and we glorify God. If we're all doing it alone, then we're all stuck in ditches together. And that's not the kind of togetherness that is better. Let's be better together. We need someone to pick us up. For heaven's sakes, do not do it alone. Please, I am talking to you this morning. If you are in a ditch, if you have fallen down in your sin and you are struggling with it, get help from someone in this room. You have been given the body of Christ around you to encourage you and to love you. We'll read the next verse. The next verse is 11. It says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And some of you are at this point, it's clicking. It's like, wait a second, this is that marriage passage. Marriage passage, that's what it's talking about right here, right? Well, you know, this is very applicable to marriage, but there's nothing in the book that says this is exactly and only for marriage. This is a relational passage, and it's talking to all of us. And you remember, we're on that road of life, and the road is treacherous, and sometimes we do fall. Well, back then, things were different. Some of you in your minds are like, oh boy, here comes a speech. There wasn't electricity. There wasn't cars. There wasn't internet. You've heard it a million times, but I'll say it again. They didn't have cars. They didn't have hotels. They didn't have any of these things. And so when they headed out on a journey, when they were on their journey of life, then they got to nighttime and they had to stay somewhere. And unless they wanted to carry a big old heavy tent, chances are they were laying out in the cold. And sometimes it gets really cold at night. Sometimes so cold that you can't stand it laying there by on your own. You know, I'm just trying to save money on heat, so I got the thermostat turned down, and I don't want to sleep without a blanket. And that's inside somewhere, and it wasn't even that cold last night. We don't want to lay out in the cold alone. You know, when two people would travel together, they could lay next to each other, and they would provide warmth for each other. It didn't mean the night was going to be easy, but it meant they would survive and perhaps even thrive, because they were able to feed off of each other and enjoy the warmth and connection of one another. I tell you what, coldness is most often associated with darkness, because caves are cold, the field is hot, right? The night is cold, the day is warm, light and this. So coldness and darkness. And you know what? On our road of life, each and every one of us go through cold and dark times. We go through cold and dark times when everything is just going wrong. This is different from sin that we may have brought upon ourselves. This is things outside of our control. And you know what? There are some of you in here today that are going through cold and dark times. There are family members around you that are sick. There are children that are wandering away from the Word of God, even though you've done everything that you can to teach them right. There are people who are dealing with husbands and wives that are not living the way that they should. There are people that are dealing with loved ones that may have just been gone for a small time or a long time, but either way, they miss them, and it is hard. I don't know all of your struggles. I don't know all of your cold and dark times, but I know I go through them, and I know you go through them too. And if you try to go through your cold and dark times of your life alone, you will freeze, and it will be miserable. But if you put someone together there with you, then you're going to survive. Maybe you're both going to get frostbit toes, but you're both going to live. We need to be together in the cold and dark times of our lives. Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear one another's burdens in the church. You and I today, it is our job to bear one another's burdens. When other people around us are going through hard times, we need to help them. But just like we put up this barrier to accountability, we put up this facade of happiness. We put away all of our struggles in the car before we walk into church, and we walk around with a smile for an hour, just so no one will know that when we get back to our car, we're going to sit there and cry because it's more than we can handle. Telling everyone that it's okay and everything is fine, because the truth is that it's not. And none of us are living where everything is fine and everything is good. And if any of us try to do that alone, we're not going to make it. We're going to freeze. But if we become together with other people, then we can enjoy warmth and we can last through the hard times. And you know what? The person that's helping in this situation, the person who's providing the warmth, they also have to enter the discomfort, right? So if you, maybe right now you're not in discomfort and you know other people that are, and you think, I don't want to get involved in that mess. I know you've thought it, I've thought it too. Somebody else can handle that. I don't want to get involved because then it demands too much of me, and I've got other things going on, I've got my family. It is your job to bear one another's burdens. It is your job to get in there and help people, to come along beside them and comfort them and love them and help them together be warm in the cold and dark times of life. Because let me tell you something, if you're not in one right now, it will come and you're going to want them to do the same to you. This is the command, bear one another's burdens. We need someone beside of us to keep us warm. Verse number 12 says this, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, when we're on this road of life, we're bound to fall. It's bound to happen, and it will happen, and we will fall in sin, and we need somebody to pick us up. There's going to be cold and dark times, and if we try to do it alone, it's not going to be fun. We may or may not make it. And you know what? On this road of life, there will be people and things that attack us. And in this day and age, you think about the fact it was many years after this, but Jesus told a parable of how a man was beaten and left for dead. And it didn't seem to alarm anyone as an unusual occurrence. This is something that's happened from the beginning of time, and it will happen until the end of time. As we go through life, we will be attacked. You know, some of you may be being attacked at work. Maybe being belittled by the people around you. Maybe people are gunning for your job. I don't know. Some of you may be being attacked by a spouse or a family member that doesn't believe that you're truly a Christian and is trying to do everything they can to see you messed up. See, you're not all that you said you were. You know, maybe some of you are right now being attacked by Satan and his demons. And he's telling you, you're not worth it. You're not enough. You mess up all the time and you just need to sink into depression because there's nothing you can do. And I'm telling you that that is a bunch of lies. And it's not what the Bible teaches and it's not what it says today. But if you try to face those attacks by yourself, you will give in to them. If no one else knows to help you, to encourage you, to remind you of the truth of God's word, when you are attacked by other people, by other situations, by Satan and his demons, by your own deceitful and wicked heart, you will fall unless you allow other people to come in together with you and to fight for you. You know, it even says here that it's less likely they're probably even going to attack if there's two or more. And then if that attack does happen, then they will prevail. And what an amazing, amazing thing that we have that opportunity. We need to get help to fight off the attacks that are coming. Do not attempt to tackle them alone. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes here, we're going to kind of spin back to that for a minute and look at the fact that he was talking about under the sun. I've inserted a lot about the church and the other people around you because I believe that that's exactly what he was doing. Solomon taught that life was better with wisdom. Well, where does wisdom come from but from God? It says, if any man lacks wisdom, to ask of him who give to all men. Wisdom comes from God. This life that we live points us to him. He says, this life is better together. And then we look at Scripture and we see that we are offered the ultimate togetherness with the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that in his sovereign plan, he created us. And then he sent his son to die for us. He sent the word that became flesh to come in. And he said that I must go so that one greater than I can come, a helper, the Holy Spirit, that will come in to indwell every believer. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I will be with you all of the time. He says, no one can take you out of my Father's hand. If you are in here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, you are going at these things alone and you need him. You need the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the ultimate togetherness, the ultimate that can stick closer than a brother and encourage you when no one else is around. The Lord Jesus Christ can pick you up. He can help you through the cold and dark times. And he can help you when an attack comes. And some of you are saying right now, oh, well, yeah, let's take that. I'll take that option. Now all those problems are gone. Now I don't have to deal with those anymore. That's not the case at all. It doesn't say that he will take you out of the road of life where these problems happen, but that this togetherness is going to help you when they happen. Because they are going to happen. You know, God does not offer a picture-perfect life of wealth and status, but he does offer forgiveness. God does not offer an easy and comfortable life, but he does offer a peace-filled one. And he does not offer a painless life, but he does offer eternal life. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, if you have not come to him, will you come to him? Because life is not easy and we need him. And it won't be easy after you have him, but you will have the greatest helper that you could ever have. And some of you in here just heard that and you're like, that's it. That's it. Me and God. I've got those sins that I fall in, but I don't need to tell other people about it. It's just me and God. Me and God can deal with this, and no one else has to know that I have pain. No one else has to know that I struggle with sin. I can walk around in my perfect little world with my barriers to accountability where no one can see what's actually going on. Well, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 and look at something. In Genesis 2, 17, God existed and man existed. And what did God say in Genesis 2:18? He said, it is not good for man to be alone. You need more than just you and God. That's the way he created you. He created you and he realized it's you and me, but you need people beside of you. You need a spouse to love you and care for you. You need a family to help you. And some of you don't have those things the way that you should. And so he says, you need the church. You need my bride. You need a group of believers that has come together in imperfect, messed up in all of its ways, but together over the gospel, together over God's word to encourage you and love you and help you through the times that come on this road of life that are not easy. We need the Lord Jesus Christ and we need each other. We need all of that in order to make it on this road of life. And, you know, I don't want anyone to walk away from here thinking that it is going to be super easy on either side of the spectrum. Because I just talked a lot to the people who need help. And I only talked a little bit to the people that need to help. Because in order to help the people in these situations, it's not easy. It's a lot of liability, and it's a lot of letting down things about you. See, this isn't supposed to be a situation where all the perfect people help all the broken people. This is a situation where we are broken together, and we help each other. You know, I mentioned a few things that God doesn't offer a picture-perfect life. If we take a look at the Lord Jesus in Luke 9:58, we see a few things about his life. The road that he had to journey. Find my verse. I'm going to read several of these. Find them. It says, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. God's not offering us a picture perfect life. He's not offering us where everything is going to be fine and dandy. He's not even offering us great wealth. In Luke 18:22, he tells us to give away everything that we have. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He's not promising us a great and amazing and picture-perfect American life like we might think, but he does offer us forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, he says to confess our sins. In Acts 3:19, he says, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. This is a situation where we have to admit that we're wrong. We have to admit that we're sinners, and it's not always an easy thing, but he offers us in Hebrews 10:22 a conscience that is clear in forgiveness. And forgiveness is worth more than all the money in the world. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, we see that. He says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? You know, that was Jesus, and he was a little special, but we could look at the fact that he doesn't offer us a comfortable life, but he does offer us a peace-filled one by looking at Paul's life. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 3, we see that Paul was working two jobs. Some of you out there, you're going through dark times in your lives in which bills are piling up against you, and you don't know what to do, and maybe you're having to work two jobs. Paul went to the churches for help, and they did help him. He didn't even ask for it, but they helped him because they knew what was going on in his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, we could read and see all of these terrible things that happened to Paul on his walk of life. and they were all bad. They were all things that are worse than what will probably ever happen to any of us. In Acts 27:41 through 28:6, we see his terrible day. But you know, as he went through all of that, he had a purpose. And he had the body of Christ around him to help him. He knew what it said in Matthew 16:24 through 26 to take up his cross. He knew the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He knew that there would be sufferings. He wrote it in Romans 8:18. And he said, we're going to have trials. John 13 says that. But we can have a peace that passes understanding. And part of that peace comes through togetherness. We're going to suffer, 1 Peter 5:10. But we need to fight the good fight. There will be sickness, James 5:14 tells us. But we can have eternal life. In closing, I just want to say, if you're struggling with sin and you've fallen, take down your barriers of accountability. Go enter into community with someone. Go eat with someone this afternoon after church that you've never gone out to eat with before. Talk to them. Volunteer yourself to work on a team here at church where you will get to interact with people and grow together with them in community. And dare to share with them things so that together we can be better. Because if we all try to do it alone, we're going to be laying in ditches, cold and freezing, and losing battle after battle. But together, we can be thriving on our journey, glorifying the God who created us. Let's be better together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as we looked at this and we said, what does this say? That it says that we need to be together because alone we will fail. We need to be together with you, Lord Jesus. Together with you, Lord, help us to fall on our knees and confess our sins and be truly together with you. But Lord, that we would not think that it is enough to just be me and you. Lord, we need our fellow believers to bear our burdens, to confess our sins too, so that together we can thrive and walk in this life. Lord, help us, help me to break down these barriers that I put around and this false facade so that people will know who I truly am, so that even if I don't know I'm being attacked yet, someone can come up beside me and help me and pray for me and love me. Lord, help us in this room, when we hear others that are struggling, when we see others that are struggling, that we would be the people that are known by our love, and that we would come in and help in such a way that the world on the outside would look and say, something is different. Lord, we need you. There are no perfect people. Lord, help us together to be better. In your Son's name, amen.